Every day we have to make decisions. We have to deal with people. So how do we make decisions when dealing with people? In the first reading from the prophet Jeremiah, the princes of the Jewish people give us one example. They deal with their problems by just trying to get rid of them. Namely, by trying to get rid of Jeremiah. This person annoys me, demoralizes me, makes me uncomfortable. Let's just pretend she doesn't exist. Or worse, actively exclude or even persecute them. And the king gives the princes precisely what they want, because as it says, he could do nothing with them. They were impossible. It was only about themselves. Do you know anyone who's impossible? Bullheaded? Unreasonable? Elsewhere, right? But how would Jesus deal with that kind of a person? They have gifts, they have talents. Maybe it's all the other things that grate. But is there a place for them where they wouldn't grate, but grow? And that's what the princes never even considered. They didn't see Jeremiah as a prophet, only as a disturber. And then there's the model of the king in that first reading. How does he deal with others? He's incapable of standing up to anyone. He caves in to the princes who desire to kill Jeremiah. Then he caves in to others who desire to save Jeremiah. He can't stand to disappoint. So he never takes a stand at all. In the gospel, Jesus says, "A fire I have come to cast on the earth. A baptism I have to be baptized." The two sentences perfectly parallel each other, with the emphasis on fire and baptism. He doesn't want to set the earth on fire like a forest fire. He wants to cast a baptismal fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now notice that he talks like he's consumed with this desire. But if he's so filled with the desire to do this, why didn't he just do it now? Cast that baptismal fire on us now, Jesus. But he doesn't. He says he has to wait. For what? This baptismal fire of the Spirit can only be cast after the suffering and death on the cross and his resurrection. Notice in that first reading, King Zedekiah waits until Jeremiah sinks into the mud of the cistern and suffers there in the darkness, and then has him pulled out. Now, the motives of Zedekiah were not pure, but God used them to teach us a lesson. And it's the same lesson that Jesus teaches in the gospel. The fire of the Holy Spirit that we received in baptism really begins to burn when we're tested through suffering in the cross. How many of our family and friends, right, and us, have received the Holy Spirit in baptism, but it's hard to tell he's there. The fire's nearly out. And sometimes it takes a bit of the cross to stir that fire up and make it burst into flames. Sometimes we're falling asleep, and the cross wakes us up. Lighting a fire does push people to make decisions. I remember when I was a little kid, and I was asked to pop some popcorn for my family while we were watching a movie on TV. And I went, and I turned on the stove, put some oil in a pan, and while I was waiting for it to get hot, I watch the TV out of the corner of my eyes, right? And suddenly my dad leaped up out of his chair and ran faster than I'd ever seen him run before into the kitchen. And when I turned around, there on the stove was my pot with flames leaping 2 feet up in the air. The oil had gotten hot. Those flames moved my dad to decision, thankfully. The fire of Jesus pushes people to be for him or against him. There's no sitting on the fence. It's easy to say that we're for Jesus, you know, as we buy a latte at Starbucks. Yes, I love Jesus very much. I'll take an extra sugar packet with that, please. But where in our lives is the fire that can make us jump out of our chair? Maybe it's protecting your friends or family or your church family. Maybe it's some kind of a cause or another. Maybe it's your work or your schoolwork. But every one of us, if we claim the name of Christian, must have a fire burning us up interiorly to rid ourselves of the burden and sin that clings to us, as our second reading says. And if we're not aware of the burden and sin that clings to us, then our Christian sensibilities have been dulled by this world. One other story. On August 14th, 2013, nine years ago today, in one night, the Coptic Christians in Egypt suffered 23 separate attacks in which their churches, pharmacies, clinics, and schools were set on fire. It was the single worst night in their living memory, and it'll long be remembered. But listen to this quote from a bishop from that area. He said, "We are happy, happy to be suffering and to be victims and to lose our churches, our homes, and our livelihoods to save Egypt for Christians and Muslims, for Christians and Muslims." He was proclaiming for all the world that the most important fire for us Christians is the fire of suffering the cross to save our own soul and the world. For Christians, redemption comes not through rising up to fight, but by rising up to suffer for truth and dignity. We don't maybe have to get involved politically, but we have to be purified of sin and purified for love. How well are you tending the fire in your Christian soul? When we come into the church and dip our fingers into that holy water to remember our baptism, it should also stir the sacred fire in our hearts, that inner purifying fire. And that will do more to change the world than any activism we might get involved with, good as that may be. The Eucharist is the place of fire and light, of decision and commitment. When the fire falls, we all leap up. What are we leaping up to? So here's the homework for the week. Pray this week for fire in your soul. Don't be afraid of the cross that helps us to make good decisions. Pray for fire in the soul to live a truly Christian life.